Alrighty. Say hello to another person. Say hello to one more person. One more person. Give them a high five. Get out of your seat. Leave your seat. Leave your row. Say what's up, what's up? How you doing, Keith? Good to see you, sir. Prophet Keith. amen, amen. Oh, go ahead and make your way back to your seats. Good morning, Christ Church. Good morning. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. I'm excited. Hopefully you're excited. Thank you guys for being here with us. For those who may not know, my name is Javon. I happen to be one of the pastors here at Christ Church. I get the awesome privilege of serving here on staff, and it's such a joy and excitement to have you guys here. Just got a few announcements, really only one announcement. Two of them actually, now that I think about it. The first one that I'm thinking of is the Connect class that's coming up on December 14th. Now that's a Saturday. Our Connect class, that's specifically for those, if you've been coming here for a short while and you want to know a little bit more about who we are as a church, the Connect class is just for you, right? If you're brand new here, or if you've been coming here for, you know, doesn't matter how long it may be, and you want to get connected, you want to know more of who we are personally, then the Connect class is your next step. Now, the way to do that is to sign up. So you can sign up in a couple ways. The first way is signing up by downloading the Christ Church app, downloading the app, signing up from there, going to the website, or you can sign up out on our main street physically with some of our connection people. They would love to get you directed towards that class, and it's a great opportunity for you to not just know who we are, but to know what God wants to do in and through your life. So come on up to the Connect class December 14th. You don't want to miss. But then also on December 23rd, mark thy calendars, December 23rd, we have our Eve of Eve service, candlelight service at 6:30 p.m. here at our Old Brooklyn location. There's a couple things I want you to know before we get to the 23rd. Number one, make sure you are here early. Okay, it is going to be packed. Okay, we're only doing one service. So I advise you to get here early, all right? First come, first serve when it comes to that small little parking lot we got, all right? So make sure you get here early. But then also invite a friend. Invite a friend. This is a perfect opportunity to invite someone who you know would love to be a part and of what God is doing here at our church. So I encourage you to do that. It'll be a special blessing for them, but also for you as well. Well, some of you are walking in and may have been familiar with what we've been talking about the last several weeks, which has been our year-end offering. You know, every year we love to help our church to understand that we want to be people of generosity. You know, the heart of the Christianity is to be worshipers of Christ, right? And the way we worship God is through the life of generosity, right? Right, through a life of generosity. And I just want you to know, church, because of your generosity, whether that might be financially, it might be your volunteering, your praying, because of your generosity, our church is becoming the church that makes a huge impact here in Cleveland. And one of the ways of how you guys have made an impact in your generosity is that we're able to raise up new ministries here at our Old Brooklyn campus. And one of those ministries is our student ministry. Our student ministry is awesome. I love our student ministry. I love our leaders. I love our volunteers, the kids, everyone who participates in it. And it's because of you thinking and praying and asking God to do a good work here in our campus. We're raising up. A couple weeks ago, they had a Thanksgiving party for the kids. What, over 30 kids were there, Crystal? Over 30 people were there for that particular event. And it's awesome to be able to continuously make an investment in our next generation, right? Because that's what we're here to do. We're here to make an investment in our next generation. So I wanna help us to be led in a way where we are continuously asking God to do a good work here at our campus. And we see that good work evident through our student ministry. So would you take the time and would you pray with me as we jump into the message, but as we pray for this year in offering to continuously be a blessing for what God is going to do in and through our church. So go ahead and bow your heads with me and let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for the good work that you have been doing. I thank you for the good work that you continuously do. Lord, we lean to you because you alone are worthy. You alone are who we depend on. We can do none of this without you. So we call on you and we depend on you to give us the strength and the wisdom to walk in the calling that you have called us to. So Lord, help us to be faithful to that. Help us to be faithful stewards in all that you're calling us to do as a church as we move forward. Would you bless us? Would you help us? Would you encourage us to be reminded that you are doing a good work and you will continuously do a good work as well? Would you inspire your people today? We are thirsty and hungry to hear from you. We're thirsty and hungry to hear from you, and we are depending on you, and we are drawing near to you to be the source of all truth so that we can be full of hope. So allow us to hear your truth. There are some of us today, we need to hear a word from the living God. For a word from the living God that inspires us to trust you again, that inspires us to walk in obedience, that inspires us to live a life of worship towards you. So would you please help us? We love you, Lord, and we thank you. Let today be a day once again that brings glory and honor to the name of Christ. It's in your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, today we're going to be starting a brand new sermon series titled Advent, the Christmas Story. Advent, the Christmas Story. I'm excited for this series. You're probably like, Javon, you're excited for every series. I know, but this one, I'm really excited, okay? So, and the next one, you better believe I'll even be more excited. But we're starting a brand new series called Advent. And if you've been around church for a while, you probably have heard of Advent, right? Advent is nothing but, comes from the Latin word Adventus, and all it means is just arrival, right? Christians adopted this word, the early church adopted this word long, long, long time ago, and it's just a time where it's that Christians, they come into a point of reflection, right? They come into a place of reflection, and they remember all of what the Christmas story means for us today, right? Because this is an event that we're going to look at in the Gospels, but it's an event that's not just meant for us to just look at what happened 2,000 years ago, but it's an event that still has an effect on us today. It's not just an event just to admire and observe, but it's an event that is still shaping our worship towards God today, right? And it's not just meant to be a time of reflection. It's also meant to be a time of where we respond, right? Right? Because I believe Christmas is the perfect time of year where it helps redirect what actually matters, right? That's what I love about Christmas. That's what I love about Easter. It gets to redirect what actually matters, because I'll guarantee this, almost everybody in this room today, or maybe those who are watching online, we've got a bunch of people who watch online every week, everybody is at a state where they feel burnt out. Right? Thank you, Kelly. Yeah, I mean, you and I, girl, that's why we get along so well, right? We feel extremely burnt out. It's been a hard year for a lot of us. It's been a year where we've had to endure a lot, right? It's been a year where we've had to handle more than we were expected in the beginning of 2024. We can't wait for 2025 to get here for some of us, right? We can't wait to open that door because it's just been a hard year. But I believe the Christmas story gives us great reminder of what is true about God, right? Gives us a great reminder of what is true about God, and it can stir within us a sense of hope, right? It can stir within us a sense of, you know what? There's better to come. Sure, I'm burnt out. Sure, I feel overworked, right? Sure, I feel burdened. I feel like I'm handling everybody else's problems, and I'm not taking care of my own problems, right? Sure, I'm there. But there's more to the story. That's what Christmas is. There's more to the story, and God is continuously at work in the story of my life. Here's what I want you to walk away with today, and this idea that we're going to read in Luke chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 1. Here's where we're going to be studying today. Here's our idea, our main theme that Luke chapter 1 teaches us is that the gift of Christmas is this. The gift of Christmas is this, that God always follows through and he never fails. Some of us, we need to hear that today, right? God always follows through and he never fails. Right? And this story that we're going to read about in the Gospel of Luke is a story that's going to make that very truth illuminate in our hearts. Right? It's going to make that very truth shine in our hearts so that we can understand and know there's more to the story than we could ever know. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. I'm going to go ahead and read. I'm just going to read it up. I'm just going to read all the way through, and then I'm going to talk about it in three different ways of how we can understand Christmas in a much better way. So let's go ahead in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Go ahead and bring out your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, don't worry. It'll be on thy screen for you. So let's go ahead and read it. Here we go. It says this. In the sixth month, God sent an angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin who was pledged in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." If you have your physical Bible, underline that. We're going to be hitting that hard in just a little bit. Verse 29, look how Mary responds. Mary was greatly troubled at his words. Not at his appearance, but at his words. Notice that. Mary didn't say, like, what the heck? I don't know about you. I've never seen an angel before. I've seen touched by an angel. That's about as far as I've seen it, but I've never actually seen an angel. But she's not, like, I love how the Bible says she was concerned by what he said, not his presence. It's very interesting. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." There's one thing I need you to know, Mary. You found favor with God. So the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Look how Mary responds again, verse 34. "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel. He says, "I am a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Look, even Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant." Another response from Mary. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it happen to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. I want to talk about this story in three different ways. This is an amazing story that happens here, right? Luke is a gospel that we find in the New Testament, which is nothing but an autobiography of the life of Jesus. Luke is actually writing what he was told from Mary herself. This story is very detailed, right? This isn't just like Luke making up something. The Bible is not made up. These are eyewitness testimonies, right? Luke probably interviewed Mary, right? The mother of Jesus, right? And she told him all of what happened in this moment. But I want to talk about this story in three ways. I want to talk about the gift of God's grace. I want to talk about the gift of God's grace, the gift of King Jesus, and number three, I want to talk about the gift of contentment, right? Number one, the gift of God's grace. Now, I love how this story starts off, right? Right? Verse 26 tells us a lot. It says, God sent an angel, right? God sent an angel, right? And he sent this angel to a place called Nazareth. Now, it's easy to overlook verse 26, friends. It's easy to say this is just something, a part of context, and we just need to read it and keep reading. No, this is very, very interesting, because what Luke is trying to get you to see is that God comes to this place called Nazareth. Now, earlier in chapter 1, to give a little context, the reason why this is powerful, earlier in chapter 1, this same angel God sent to this guy by the name of Zechariah, who happens to be the father of John the Baptist. Now, where Zechariah was very different than where Mary is. Zechariah was in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is a big deal, right? It's a huge place, right? It's got all the beautiful temples, right? It's the place where all the Jews lived, and it was God's own people. Jerusalem was where you wanted to be, right? It's where you wanted to be, right? And not only did God appear in Jerusalem, but the angel also appeared in the temple, the place where God's presence was, the place where the people went to worship God and offer sacrifices. And he presents himself to this guy, Zechariah, who happens to be a priest. Why am I telling you all this? Because it's so interesting how God drew near to a place everybody wanted to be, but then we find himself in Nazareth where nobody ever wanted to go. That's interesting. Why do I bring that up? Because Jerusalem and Nazareth, they are totally different. Everybody would have heard about Jerusalem. Nobody would have heard about Nazareth. Nazareth was kind of like, if you go up and somebody tells you that they're from Ann Arbor, Michigan, you'd be like, oh, that sucks. But anyway, right? Nazareth is the place nobody knew where it was. Like if somebody asked you and said, where are you from? And then I'm from Nazareth, people would be like, Nazareth? I've never heard of it before. But here is God. This is awesome. He comes to a place where nobody would ever go. Nazareth probably would have been about 5,000 people total in Mary's time. Small, small town. And he appears to a virgin named Mary. Now, I know Mary is a very controversial figure for a lot of Christians. Just to let you know, Mary is just like you and I, right? We don't pray to Mary. We don't worship Mary. We don't do any of that, right? Mary is just like you and I. We revere her because of her role in this story, but she's not someone that we pray to, right? But God appears to this lowly girl in this unknown town. What is happening here? Why did I say all of that? What are we drawing near? What God is doing, he is presenting and demonstrating the depths of his grace towards a lowly girl in an unknown place. The angel says, greetings, you have found favor with God, right? Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you, right? And what Mary's response is such an interesting response. Why is it so interesting? I said it before. It's interesting because she's trying to discern what he said over everything. She's like, me? I'm favored? Do you know where I live? I live in Nazareth. Nobody wants to be here, right? Not only do I live in Nazareth, I'm this young, some scholars believe, like to believe that Mary probably was poor, right? She was financially poor. She probably didn't have much of a social status, right? All of that, right? And she looks at the angels and she says, how could I be favored by God, right? What did she need in that moment? See, she might have known God, but she didn't know grace at the moment. She probably knew who God was, but she didn't encounter the depths of his grace in her life, right? And so Christmas is a time where we get to be reminded, friends, that there is a grace available for you in the areas that are lowly in your life. There is a grace God wants to give you today. Right? Because some of us, if we can take a step back and we can be honest, we're not performing at the place or at the pace we would like to lately. Right? If we can remove the veil of fakeness, we can remove the veil of phoniness. A lot of us, we're not happy with the progress we've been making or the lack thereof. A lot of us, we've been underperforming in our marriages. We've been underperforming in our in raising our children. We've been underperforming in life in general. And those areas, that we've allowed them to kind of deter the meaning and the truth of life. But friends, I want to encourage you today. God wants to bring his grace in those areas of your life to strengthen, sustain, and to sanctify you to a place called hope. God wants to give you grace today, right? And as a matter of fact, if you're at that place, if you can remove the veil of phoniness, if you're at that place, it's actually a good place to be. Why? Because it's just another reminder of how much you need the Lord, right? Your weaknesses and your struggles and the things that you are not very good at, the things that you are troubled by, what are they doing? They are a reminder. You need grace. And guess what grace is found? In the presence of your Heavenly Father. And there is a grace available for you today. And there is a grace that God wants to give each and every one of us. There's a grace that wants to sustain and strengthen those who are going backwards. You feel like you're going backwards lately, right? There's a grace that wants to encourage the weak heart that is always troubled by the outward things. But there is a grace that wants to give you inner strength to trust and hope in him again. What did Mary needed in this moment? She needed to be reminded, grace is available for you. And that's the same thing with us today, friends. Grace is available. I know you've been messing up. I know you don't like the person that is sitting here today, but there is a grace that says, I'm willing and able to bring real transformation in your life. That's the grace, that's the gift of what Christmas brings to us. Now, let's talk about the second point. Let's talk about the gift of King Jesus. I love this. So the angel appears to Mary. Mary's trying to figure out and discern what's going on. And then the angel tells her why he's here, right? Now, look at what the angel says. This is very cool. He says, behold, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Jesus, all his name means in Hebrew is just Yahweh saves, right? That's the name Jesus. That's his name in Hebrew, Yahweh saves, or Yeshua saves. And he give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him a throne. Listen to this language. The Lord God will give him a throne, underline that, of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. That's the people of God. And his kingdom, notice the language again, will never end. Throne, reign, kingdom. What does this passage talk about? This passage talks about why Christ came and arrived here on this earth. The meaning and the purpose of Christ came. And what was his meaning and his purpose? That he would be the king of your heart. That he would be the king of your heart. You know, there are times where my son has to be reminded who's in charge. Any parents have to do that often with their kids, with their grandkids, right? You often have to remind them, hey, buddy, the Bible says spare the rod, spoil the child. I take the Bible very literally, right? Other day, we were cleaning up some mess, so I was tempted to get to clean up some mess. And I said, hey, son, you know, you got to clean this up. And you know what he tells me? I tell you, I don't want to tell you how I responded. I just want to tell you what he said, okay? He said, I don't have to do that. And I said, oh, Lord, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. I was beating my chest at that moment, you know. I don't have to do that. And there's times in your life in parenthood, right, where you kind of got to puff up your chest a little bit to your kid and say, I need you to know I'm king, okay? We live in a democracy, but this house is a dictatorship, okay? I need you to know there's one king, bruh. Don't get in my way, right? And, you know, he may not like that, but he needs to be reminded. I think with this Christmas season, I think we need a reminder that Christ is king. That Christ is king. That he is the ruler of all. Right? Jesus, he is the fulfillment of the promise God made through King David. That's why he said the house of David. King David, God told David back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God told David, through your line, through your lineage will come a king. Right? Right? Jesus is in the same lineage, right, of David. He said there will be one that will come and he will be a king, but he just won't be any other king like you're a king. He will be a king that will reign forever. Right? And his kingdom will have no end. And I think what this Christmas season can do for us today is that we can re-engage with the fact that Jesus needs to be the Lord and the leader of your soul. Right? I think what I love about this Christmas season is that Jesus came to do more than just to be the king of Israel or king of the cosmos, king of all that exists that we see and we can't see. He also wants to be the leader of your soul. And the question I want to ask you is Jesus king? Is Jesus king? Or is Jesus a really good place to kind of cry to when you don't feel well? Is Jesus your psychiatrist, right? Your cosmic psychiatrist. Is Jesus just somebody that just you could call on when you need something? Or is he the leader of your life? Who has the final say in your life? Is it your preferences? Is it your emotions? Right? And let me ask you another question. How's that working out? Right? Probably not all too well. What has the final say in your life? Is it your pain? Right? Is it your past? Right? And Christmas is a reminder that Jesus is the true king who came to rule your heart. I think this Christmas season, this is an opportunity for us to re-engage and reconnect and put Christ on the throne of our hearts today. And say, Jesus, you are the leader. I do what you say. Because this king is a promoter of what brings peace and freedom for you and I. Right? And this king, he has the utmost influence on who we are becoming and what we do. That's what this holiday season could mean for each and every one of us. Now let's talk about the third thing. The angel talks about how you're going to bear a son. You're going to have this son, and this son's going to be great. This son's going to do awesome things. It's going to be awesome. You're going to love it. The world's going to be saved. It's going to be amazing. But look how Mary responds. Verse 34. He says, how can this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Now let's stop there. Mary hears the message. And she tries to, again, discern how to receive this message. It's a hard message, right? Mary tells you right up front, wait a minute. I need you to know this one thing, Gabriel, right? Angel, right? I need you to know this one thing. I've never been with a man before, right? Right? I'm not married. I don't do the whole, you know, but before marriage thing. Like, I'm not married, right? Once I get married, like, maybe that could happen, but I'm not married. Like, what do I do about this, right? How can this be? What are we seeing in this moment? Well, Mary is very confused again, and she's confused because to her, something's not adding up. She couldn't fathom this idea that she's going to be pregnant without being with a man, right? She couldn't fathom. She's sitting back. She's like, this makes no sense, right? Right? And you know what it made me think? It made me think sometimes following God can feel like a mystery, right? Sometimes following God, it can feel like a mystery in our lives, right? Right? We all come to a point in our lives where we ask, how can this be, right? We all have maybe come to a point in our lives where we say to ourselves, this doesn't make any sense. Things aren't adding up in our minds, what we call the facts. We try to weigh it versus what God is doing or what's happening in our lives, and things seem to not be adding up. And can I just tell you right now, and I want to encourage you, not with the sense to, like, you know, to make it seem all bad, but I want to encourage you, sometimes following God does feel like a mystery, right? Right? And there's never going to be a moment in your life, there's never going to be a moment on this side of eternity where you're going to fully understand all that what God is doing. Because if you could, that wouldn't make him God. Thank you. If you could fully understand God in every detail, because we think faith is knowing the plan, right? But rather, faith teaches us that it's trusting in the one who ultimately knows and has the plan, right? Right? And this is what the Christmas story points to. See, there's never going to be a moment where you're going to sit there and you're going to do the algebra and remove the decimal and all the stuff. This is how long I've been in math. But you're going to do all of that, right? And you're going to be like, oh, now I see, now I know what God is doing. No, friends, that's not the truth, right? And we try to evaluate our lives and our relationship with God based off what's happening in front of us. But the Bible teaches us to do something different. The Bible teaches us not to evaluate your life by the present, but to evaluate your life by who God is and what God can do. That's what the Bible says, right? Right? You and I, we got to get to a moment. We got to get to a place where we got to realize that there are just some things we can never fathom and never understand. Now, that doesn't make God untrustworthy. It just makes him supreme in wisdom and knowledge, right? That's what makes him supreme in wisdom and knowledge. One thing my wife knows about me, that when I go and make my protein shake, I'm gonna get some protein powder on the counter, and guess what I'm gonna do next? She knows that about me, right? She doesn't go and try to investigate, was it one of the kids? Did the dog do this? Did I do this? No, whatever. Who did this? She knows it was her lazy husband, right? And the reality is we're not going to know everything, right? But there's one thing we need to realize. God is supreme in his wisdom and his knowledge in our lives today. Because I can tell you right now, the reason why doubt and fear develops, because we're always looking at what we can't do. But faith develops when we look to what God can do. When we are constantly looking to what God can do. I want to read you this quote, this awesome quote. It says this: some of God's mysteries may be intentional. It may be that he doesn't want to feed your curiosity, but lead you to worship. Listen to this. It is not that he wants you to be ignorant of things, but for you to be content that he is competent. Right? How about that, friends? Right? It's not that God's trying to leave you high and dry, and he's just trying to say, hey, you know, I just want you to sit here and wallow in your fear and pity. No, what God wants you to do, God's not interested in feeding your curiosity. He wants to lead you to a place of worship where you find your contentment, not when you know everything, but when you know him, who holds all things in his hands. Who holds all things in his hands. The angel says the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. It's going to overshadow you. And you will bear a son and all of this. And then he says this in verse 37. He says, for no word from God will ever fail. I love this. You want to know why this is a powerful? Because this reminds us that God is really good at showing he's really good. And sometimes for God to show he's really good, some things don't feel really good. And it's in those moments, it's in those places, it's in the moments where we've lost someone. It's in the places where we hear a horrible diagnosis. It's in those moments where we face yet another dysfunctional relationship. It's in those moments where God loves to show off his great power and his great ability. Some of us are in those moments today. I've had to talk to another couple just yesterday about a season of miscarriage. I've had to talk to another couple last week of a season of divorce. I've had to talk to another young man just a couple weeks ago of a season of depression and suicide attempts. Another place. And they're trying to discern and figure out why, how can this be, right? And the only time, only thing that can happen in those moments in our lives is when we look to the one who is true and say to ourselves what Mary says to the angel in verse 38. Look what she says. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it happen to me according to your word. You know what Mary does here? Mary, listen to me. Mary doesn't keep asking the angel how. Did you notice that? She doesn't say, well, okay, wait, this Holy Spirit overshadowed me. Matter of fact, we're talking about the Holy Spirit here because I don't know who the Holy Spirit is, but I don't know who this guy is. But anyway, the Holy Spirit going to overshadow me. Okay, my cousin Elizabeth, Zacharias' wife, she's okay, da-da-da-da. She doesn't keep pestering God to change the situation. Did you notice that? She doesn't just keep saying, man, if maybe you could choose somebody else. Maybe somebody else can take this responsibility. You know what she does here? This is why Mary is to be highly regarded, right? Not worshipped, but to be regarded. Because she expresses what we call true humility. And this is what humility. Humility is more. It's more than just thinking lowly of yourself or not too low, too highly of yourself. Humility is saying this, God, have your way. It's one of the hardest prayers you will ever pray in your life, friends. It's one of those moments because a lot of us, more of our tendency is to get God to change the situation, right? That's our tendency. And we keep praying and 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 praying, right? We keep coming to church, hearing a word, coming to church, hearing a word, coming to church, hearing a word. We're encouraged. We feel good one day, then we feel like crap the next day. But Mary says, here's what I'm going to be concerned with, serving God, because I know God is going to be God. God's going to be God. Why does Mary respond this way? Because she knows in the hands of the Lord, she's safe. She's safe in the hands of the Lord. She doesn't know the full picture, but she knows that the Lord is safe. And here's what I want to encourage your hearts today for some of us, that maybe we're at a place where we keep fighting with God to change this thing. You've been struggling with X, Y, and Z for so long, and you want that thing, and I get it, and I see it, and I understand. But maybe we can be moved to this prayer. And this is the prayer I want you to pray. This prayer that says, God, it's in your hands. It's in your hands, God. I won't toil over it any longer because I know you will never fail me. That's your prayer today, friends. It's the Mary's prayer where you just step back and you just say, God, I won't ask you to change it, but I will accept your will for this. I will accept the fact that you are not just someone who is seeing what's going on, but you are actively at work in all that is happening. Friends, some of us today need to pray this prayer. And it's a prayer of freedom. Why? Because we can get busy finding joy in God, not trying to find joy in what God gives, right? We can be busy doing what Mary said. I am the Lord's servant. I want to be busy serving God, not begging him to change everything that's hard in my life. But I want to be busy, and I just want to listen, I'm going to sit here and say, this is the Lord's will, right? This is the Lord's will. This is what God wants right now. I need to accept this season. You know the one thing I'm going to ask Jesus when I get to heaven? I'm going to ask Jesus, Listen, I thank you for saving the world. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for resurrecting. But can I ask you a question, Jesus? Why did you create sleep regressions in toddlers? Like, why? Am I right, John? My best friend's here. Am I right, bro? We got two boys, and sleep regressions, if you don't know, if you don't have children, sleep regressions, they suck. And they're horrible. It's the time where your kid begins to not sleep and cause havoc in your household, and it's awful. And I'm going to ask God, I love you, but why? Like, you know, things were peaceful. We did the cry it out method and all that. But then next year, you know, they're sleeping in the bed, and now I'm sleeping on the couch. Like, what's going on? Like, but anyway, I digress. But you know, my wife and I, we looked at each other. We said, this is the season that we're in. It's just the season that we're in. And some of you, you need to accept the fact you're in this season. You're in this difficult season. And sometimes the difficulty goes from one level to another level that makes it awful. But know this, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And there is grace that is ready to sustain you in and through this season. There is a grace that is ready to hold you and grow you while you are here, and to wait on the Lord to bring about his good purpose and his plan in your life. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that we would look to you and know that you are the true and strong one, that you are wise. I pray that our faith would rest upon the reality that you will be God. That our faith would not be trying to just get from you, but our faith would be trying to get more of you. Help us, Lord. We want to have a faith that says, let not my will be done, but let thy will be done. And sometimes it feels like our own ways are the ways, but Lord, your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are your ways above ours. Help us to realize that you're wise. Sometimes our troubles distort us to think that you've abandoned us. Sometimes our struggles makes us think that you're not with us. But it's our struggles, Lord, that reminds us that you're actually working for us. You won't leave us in this place. You won't leave us in the place of betrayal or dysfunction or any of that. But Lord, no longer will we sit here and just concern ourselves with what is, but worship you. We want to be worshipers, not of our problems, but we want to worship the problem solver. We want to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame, endured the cross. Now he is seated at the right hand of God. Help us to be focused on Jesus. Help us, O Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's wonderful name, amen.